So I'm going to speak a little bit about hope today with you, and we're going to do this for the next few weeks. Hope, and then we're going to talk about faith, then joy, and then peace, and then Christmas Eve will happen, and we'll all come here for a candlelit service and light the Christ candle, and we'll be reminded about that. But this week I felt a little bit. One of the hopes that I started to feel in my life is I hope that one day I will be a better boss than I am right now. And I have a little story that happened this week that will remind you that we are humans doing God's work as pastors on this team. And we started decorating all in here. And this is it looks great, doesn't it? Looks nice. I'll tell you something. Pastor Matt actually wore red and green to decorate. Isn't that good? It was green camo, but it was red and green. And I almost put some Christmas ornaments on him. I thought he was the Christmas tree for a second. But anyways, we decorated in here, and Pastor Joel sort of oversaw all of that and ran that for us. She did an incredible job. And if you see her right now, she's at kids. But if you see her, tell her thanks for doing that. But there were some volunteers coming around. There were some staff. We kind of planned it out, and then we went for it. And on the day that we were decorating, I had a sense that Pastor Joel was a little frustrated. And so I just, it's busy and we're doing a lot of things, and so that's okay. That happens. We get frustrated. But it came to a head near the end of the day when she said, can I speak with you in your office? I know what it's like to go to the principal's office. I never knew I'd get in trouble going to my own office, but I walked to my office and I think she's going to tell me all about the bad things someone else has done that I need to deal with. But she says, listen, I'm really frustrated. I said, uh-oh. She says, and most of my frustration's with you. So I said, you can pack up your things and leave this job. You're all done. See you later. No, I said, okay, well, obviously you're wrong on everything you're thinking right now, but I'm open to listen to some more, and we'll see. I said, okay, tell me more about what's going on. And she has told me some things and different frustration, different communication breakdowns. We worked it through. It's okay. The church is still healthy and strong, but we carried on a little ways. And eventually, after some apologies and some new understandings of where things were at, I said, you know what, Pastor Joel, the reality is decorating for the church for Christmas, it's never going to be fun anyways. That's what I said. She looks at me and said, it used to be fun. Zing. That was a zinger for me. Oh, and she starts talking about these times when there was once times when all families would come together and we would have, eggnog lattes, and I'm picturing like elves jumping around, snowing in here, something like everything is just a dream. We were all floating and hanging up like just the perfect thing was used to be that way, and we'd all come into the Christmas season with such joy. And I'm thinking, one, you might be lying to me again. but two, I dropped the ball. I thought I could have done something. You're right. I could have done something. Instead, we were just sort of trying to get the job done and figure it out. Whatever. Someone will do it. Sometimes the lead pastor does that, right? I think someone will do it. And look at that. It happened, but I'm thinking, okay, well, I was thinking, we'll just get it done and we'll figure it out and that'll be fine and whatever. But reality is I could have done something about that. So I just thought of that this week. I hope next year to be a better boss than I am this year. I hope for lots of things about myself next year than I'm not this year maybe. And we all hope for something. Psalm 62:5 says, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. I bet we're going to come back to that by the end of this sermon. But that's a great verse. You should read that one at home. Psalm 62:5, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. not in God and other things and other people and other financial situations and other circumstances. In God alone is where we find our rest. My hope comes from Him. Then Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life." Hope deferred. Hope is this idea sometimes that we think that the circumstances that we're currently in are not exactly what we want them to be. We're not crazy about the situation that we're in. We're not crazy about how much money we make or what we've got going on. We're not crazy about some of the stuff. And hope deferred is us saying, I really hope that this is going to change things, or this thing will change things, and this will make things shift in my life. Hope deferred, though, keeps those things from actually happening. You think, okay, now that I've got the promotion, I'm going to make so much more money and I'm going to be happy. And, you know, oh, the promotion happened and it didn't actually come with money. Anyone ever got one of those? A promotion and you didn't get a raise? Here you have much more responsibility. No more money, though, you know. But people will look to you as a leader. So, you know, things start to happen. Like, oh, that was the thing. That's what I was banking on. That's what I was hoping for. I was believing that that was going to be the thing that was going to change everything for me. Hope deferred. You don't get it, and all of a sudden you feel sick. As I was thinking about this one, I actually thought back to a sad time in our nation's history, and that was when the Vancouver Canucks lost Game 7 to the Boston Bruins. I know, there's groans in the room still. And we're all embarrassed for the riots and things like that, but that's hope deferred, right? Maybe this is the year when that looked really good. Everyone's kind of thinking, we've got a good team, we're making a good run, it's looking good, it's going to happen, here we go, this is going to be awesome, let's have a party in the streets, like this is going to be the great, oh! No, it didn't happen. Hope deferred, it makes our hearts sick. I had a time when I had hope deferred, certainly in a significant way. I went on a mission trip to Crimea, which is in the Ukraine. It's a beautiful place in the Ukraine, actually. And I went there, and it was nice. We had lots of great moments. In fact, there was a drought. We prayed for rain, and it rained. That was cool. That was neat to be a part of. That was to a bunch of people who didn't believe in Jesus, who soon did, which was neat. But anyways, some of those things were happening, and that was great. But one thing that I wasn't in love with when I was in Crimea was the food that we ate. Now, I've talked to a lot of Ukrainian people, and they said, that food is not Ukrainian that you described to me. So I'm not offending a whole people, just one, what do they call them, babushka that was making us the dinner. That's all. She doesn't follow us on the websites or anything. So anyways, she would come. I remember the different food that we would get, and it was hard to eat. And I was lined up ahead of time. I knew that this was one of my roles. There was a leader of the trip. I was there sort of doing some co-leading, but I knew this was one of my roles. Sit beside people who can't eat that much and eat the rest of their food, so that we don't offend people. Has anyone ever played that role on a missions trip? That's an important role, just so you know. We don't want to offend our host, so we need to make sure all of our plates are cleaned off and we've eaten everything. And so I'd sit at a table with all of these people who don't want to eat, and I'm taking their food. Even if I don't like it, I'm just taking their food. I'm like, this is the worst day of my life, you know? So one morning I get up and I'm thinking, you know, toast would be nice, or oatmeal, or Lucky Charms. They got Lucky Charms in Ukraine? No. Like bacon and eggs would be really nice. Whatever. So anyways, we come in and there's a hot bowl of turkey soup for breakfast. That's sort of funny. But my father-in-law eats his leftovers for breakfast usually, so I'm thinking that's all right. But then the person sitting beside me was the vegetarian on the trip. And so she'd always get different meals, and sometimes they were really great, and sometimes they were really not. And this was one of those circumstances where it was really not. And so I'm eating my turkey soup for breakfast, which tastes fine, just feels weird to me. And then she beside me gets this bowl of butter, cream, sugar, and some of my noodles. Like it's just a noodly bowl of butter, basically. And I'm looking at that thinking, I wish I was sitting at a different table right about now. I can eat turkey soup all day long, but a bowl of melted butter and noodles, that's hard. So anyways, she goes, Evan, I can't touch this. I'm thinking, you touch that right now. Big scoops. Quickly, go. You know, she didn't touch any of it. She didn't have any of it. I eat the whole thing. Then we go into town. That was a hard morning. I don't think I ate lunch because I'm just like full and feeling like slippery from the butter. And I come back for dinner time. And when I get back for dinner time, I'm hungry now. I've worked off the breakfast. I come back at dinner time and I look, turkey soup. Thinking, that's funny. Turkey soup on the table. But I get a little closer. There's no steam coming off this turkey soup. Okay, well, maybe we're having cold turkey soup. So I go to take a scoop of the turkey soup, and it's not turkey soup. It's turkey soup jello. No one's really, some of the Ukrainians are like, what? What did they do? No, I didn't know what that was. Like, my dill sprig is shooting up like this. It's growing, you know. It looks like it's growing in there. And I ate it all. Lots of people are like, we're not doing this. We're not eating it. I ate it all. Needless to say, when I was coming back to Canada, I was like, I can't wait. In Victoria, there's a place called the Blue Fox, and they've got the best breakfast. I can't wait for a Blue Fox breakfast in Victoria. This is going to be the best thing. Well, we did our first flight home, and I'm hoping. I can't wait. I'm going home. This is going to be great. See my family. Yeah, that's nice. But Blue Fox breakfast, you know. And so we get to a place called Kiev, and we land in Kiev. We realize we have 45 minutes to get to our next flight. So we're running. And we're sprinting across this place. We had to get all our bags. We run across this big parking lot, jump on this train, go all this place. And everyone's like, I hope we're going to make this. I hope we're going to make this. I hope we're going to make this. Well, we get to the place, and guess what? Didn't make it. Hope deferred. Oh, it just rocked us. Like, what? What are we going to do? We're now sitting in Kiev. Our hosts aren't here. Our translators aren't here. Most people don't speak our language. And we're trying to figure out how we're going. We're trying to figure out how to call the church, first of all, and say, send us a lot more money because we need to travel. We need to get these flights booked. And then there's this one guy on our team who can't fly through the States. So they've got these trips. Like, you can't go through the States, though. And so we're like, what are we going to do? So the leader of the trip stays with that guy, and they go to Amsterdam, and then the rest of us are like, you need to go right now. You're going to Paris right now. You got to go. So boom, we jump into this next thing. Every single one of us has someone working with them, be like, step aside. They got to get through. And they get us on the flight. Now I'm the leader of the trip. I get on the plane. I'm looking around saying, where's the team? Where's the team? And the guy says, you sit down right now or you get off the plane. I don't even know if the team's on the flight. Hope deferred, you know. I sat down and I'm sitting there like, well, I hope so. I sure hope something worked out here. I don't know if it did, but I sure hope it did. We all hope for things. By the way, they all got on the team. All got on the plane. We all got home eventually. And I'd be fine if God never calls me back to Crimea. But we all hope for different things, right? But hope like that, it seems like it's kind of weak. I mean, I'm sitting there, I'm like, I want to step up and do something about this. I want to make sure the whole team's on here. And it's not even the whole team because we left a couple behind. Like, I need to get up and no, you sit down. And now all I have left to do, I can hope and pray. I'm just going to sit here and hope. I guess we'll hope that this is all going to work out. I guess I'll hope that something is going to happen. I guess I'll just hope that they're all here. Sometimes that's what we do in life. That's the best we can do for hope. We think, what is hope? It's something that I do. It's a positive thinking. It's a way of perceiving life where I can say, well, my circumstances aren't great, but I hope they will be eventually. Well, I don't have the best job, but I hope I will eventually. I don't have much money. I hope I will eventually. I hope. We start learning how to hope. We start learning how to use hope in different situations. But the problem with that is when all we're doing is just hoping, something's going to let us down along the way. I hope my spouse will start treating me a different way. They didn't. Huh. Well, I hope they do this year. They didn't. Well, this year I really hope that they treat me a different way. That's what I want them to do. I want them to do something different. I really hope that that's what takes place this time. Why didn't it happen? I hoped for it. I really hoped for it this time. You know, that kind of hope Oprah could give to you. Oprah could give you that kind of hope. Honestly, positive think. Your circumstance is not as bad as you think. Think better. Think happier thoughts. Hope that things will change. Learn how to just hope that things will look different at some point along the way. We start to hope for an outcome. We start to hope for things. Hoping becomes something that we do. And the Bible actually doesn't really talk about what to hope for. We see a couple times where the Bible talks a little bit about what to hope for, but he doesn't say, hey, when you're not having a good time at your job, you should hope for a different one. He doesn't say, you know, if you're having a rough time in your family, you should hope for a new family. You know, if things aren't going well or it doesn't seem like there's world peace, you should hope for world peace. You know, think some positive thoughts and see if that changes things. Think some happy thoughts and see if you start to fly like Peter Pan. Like, what is that? Well, Oprah does that, and the world can do that, and we can figure that out. But what does the Bible say about hope? Because the Bible doesn't sit here and say, here's all the things that you should hope for. And the problem is, if all we ever think about is what we hope for, then we forget about who we're supposed to hope in. We forget about the one that we're supposed to place our hope in. We sit around thinking about, this is what I want, and this is how I want my new circumstance to look. And I know it's not great here, but it's going to be great there. And so I'll just hope my way into that new circumstance, where the Bible actually, over and over and over, if you flip through your Bible and read about hope, over and over and over, it's not going to say, here's what you should hope for in life and hope for these types of circumstances and these types of situations. Over and over and over, the Bible says, place your hope in God. Put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. Over and over, it says that. When we put our hope in something, we're saying that thing is going to carry us to every circumstance and carry us through every circumstance and take us to all the places that we know we should go. Hope is the expectancy of a different kind of reality. And putting our hope in something is essentially choosing the vehicle to get us to that reality. Abraham, we heard about a few weeks ago from Pastor Jason Eliason. He talked about Abraham, and God said to Abraham, Abraham, your wife is going to have a baby. You guys are going to have a baby. What? He starts to hope for it, right? Can't wait to have a baby. Here's what I'm going to name. You know, he starts to hope, Lord, I just want that baby. I'm hoping for it. Why isn't it happening yet? I'm hoping and hoping and hoping. And why am I not seeing the baby? I've got lots of positive thoughts. I've got lots of ideal ways of thinking. I'm hoping that the baby comes. I'm hoping. Why isn't it coming yet? He says, I know. Maybe what I'll do instead of just hoping for this thing is I'll do something about it. And what he does is he sleeps with his wife's slave. And all of a sudden, then, a baby comes. Not the baby that was supposed to come. Not the promise that was supposed to be filled. That's not what was supposed to take place in life. Was God not faithful? I don't know what God was up to. I just know he told me there was a baby, and so I started hoping for a baby. And when I didn't see the baby, I decided I better do something about it. When we just use hope for things and don't place our hope in God, then we'll do whatever it takes just to get those things. It does nothing for our faith in Jesus Christ. And hope will let us down all the time that way. But hope, when it is placed in God's hands, will never let us down. Because God never will. He can't. We can either hope for some things or have hope in all things. It's funny, I've often heard about love. When people talk about love, they say, here's what you need to do with love. You shouldn't make it a noun anymore. It should become a verb. You know, so they say, when love is just something, it doesn't do that much. But when it becomes a verb and you actually go and act on it, then it's something. That's the real deal. That's really what love is all about. Well, for hope, I felt like it was the opposite this week as I was studying. We often think hope is a verb. Hope is the action. Hope is what I do. That's what I do. But God doesn't say here's how you should hope. He said here is your hope. Jesus Christ. Hope became a noun. Hope became something to be grasped. Hope became something to hold on to in our lives. Not just something to act out in every circumstance within your life. Hebrews 6:19 says that hope is an anchor. He talks about the promises of God. The author of Hebrews talks about the promises of God and then says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. I went on a family holiday a few years back, and we were at a lake. And my father-in-law, he likes shock value. And so he got this thing called Party Island. Has anyone heard of Party Island? Party Island was this big inflatable thing that we were going to go put in the lake, and then we all of a sudden owned an island, you know. And so we were going to put this thing out. It took about 3 days to blow up, and then we went home. No, I'm just kidding. But we blew it up forever. Finally, we moved that thing out, and then we didn't see my father-in-law for the rest of the trip, unless we went to Party Island, basically. So he's out there on his island and just loving life and taking things in. And he had this huge anchor. I remember this anchor because I haven't spent a lot of time. I grew up in Williams Lake, and people don't really go in Williams Lake all that much. And so I didn't do a whole lot in the water when I was a young guy, except catch frogs in the creek. But so I didn't know that he had this big skookum anchor. And I'm looking at that thing like, whoa, that thing is going, nothing is going to move when we've got that anchor. I don't care what you do with that. That is a serious anchor. And I also thought, that seems like overkill. But anyways, that's cool. And so he's got this anchor, and he goes out in Party Island, and he throws out the anchor. Yes! And I don't know what he did along the way, and we carried on. And then the next day, the winds had blown. You know, the storm had come in. Some things had happened. And all of a sudden, the Party Island is beached. It's no longer an island. It's party land. And it's sitting there on the shore. And I'm thinking, what? The size of that anchor. Like, how did that ever happen? How did Party Island move at all when he got that big anchor just thrown out in the water? That anchor had to have done something. How did it not do something? How did Party Island move? I don't get it. That is crazy. I just didn't understand. But I think sometimes that's what happens with our hope. We know hope is our anchor for our souls. You know, that's what we hear about. Hope is the anchor for our souls. We come to church, hope is the anchor for our souls. And we think that it's hope. We don't think that it's hope in God. We just think it's hope. As long as I hope, it will be all fine. And it's like us throwing an anchor out into the sea. Yep, I'm hoping. I'm getting better and better at hoping, so my anchor's getting bigger and stronger and more capable. But that anchor in a bunch of sludge is going to do nothing. Doesn't matter how much you hope if your hope is that the sludge will keep your island an island. You can throw out that anchor all day. I hope that my job will change. How do we do this for world peace? I sure hope that things are going to change in the world. I sure hope that someone will do something about this ISIS thing. I sure hope that happens sometime soon. And then all of a sudden we get a new prime minister, and everyone says, oh no, not this. Is he good? Is he going to do the thing? Because we need someone who's going to give us hope. Christians, who gives you hope? It's Jesus that gives you hope. He came and said, I am the hope. And yet we look around and we say, we need world peace. So is it going to be Vladimir Putin? Or is it going to be Trudeau? Or is it going to be Obama? Who is going to do this for us? Because we need to place our hope in someone. We need to place our hope somewhere. And so we're going to figure out who that person is. And whoever that person is, that's who's going to do it. But Jesus never asked us to place our hope in someone else. He said, place your hope in me. Place your hope in me. I'm the only one who can give it back and say, here, have it in all circumstances. An anchor is useless without the rock. An anchor does nothing for you without a rock. Throw an anchor in sludge as long as you want. The storm comes, your ship's sailing. get an anchor on the rock, you won't move. You're not going anywhere. That will hold you through all circumstances. The biblical hope that we think about, the not Oprah hope, is not something that helps us to figure out how to get a new circumstance. It's something that carries us through all the circumstances that we're in. Something that allows us to believe that whatever I'm in, I can face. Whatever I'm in, I can overcome. Whatever I'm in, I know that there will come a day when He will wipe away every tear, where He will give me eternal life, where He will heal every sickness. I believe for that day, and I'm actually going to call for that day now, and I'm going to ask the kingdom to come now. But until that day, whenever He decides, I still have hope, whether my circumstance is this or that or the other thing, or whether we get that prime minister, or whether Putin goes and attacks ISIS, or whatever happens, I have a hope. Not a hope that says, oh, I hope that things change, but a hope that says, whether or not they change, I'm anchored. And whatever storm comes, I'm not going anywhere. And He will take care of me. He will look after me. Worship team, you can come and join me up here. I thought about what this looks like for the Comox Valley. This series that we're doing is called This Christmas. Sort of supposed to be like a declarative time. Well, this Christmas, we're going to have hope. And for some of you, you have circumstances that are really hard to face right now. And for you, the hope, I hope that things are going to change. And it doesn't, it's not that that needs to not be the way that you deal with things. It's that you shouldn't allow that to distract you from the hope, from who you're putting the hope in. For the Comox Valley, sometimes I sure hope there's less addicted people one day, you know. Oh, I sure hope that things change. I sure hope that there's less divorce. I sure hope that more young people find Jesus. I sure hope the schools change. I sure hope there's less, less people are sexualizing women, chasing after pornography all the time. I sure hope that some of that changes. I'll tell you something, if that's our view, if that's the way we walk it out, we have no power other than what every single person that Oprah empowers has. Anyone can say that. Anyone can look at our world, look at the Comox Valley and say, oh, I sure hope that things are different next year. I sure hope that things change. I sure hope that we might get to see a little bit more joy in the streets. I sure hope that we might see something new. I sure hope this year is different than last year and we don't have a flood. I sure hope the ski mountain works out. I sure hope that some of the bigger things happen. I sure hope that takes place. So does every other person in the Comox Valley, whether they have Jesus or not. So what's different about our hope? It's not for something, but it's in something. It's not for a circumstance, but it's in Jesus Christ. And so we say to Jesus Christ, we have hope in You, and here's all the things we want, but we're going to give them all to You. And when we do, we trust that You are, as Your Word says, going to give us hope. For what circumstances? All. For what situations? All. For what outcome? All outcomes. God can do it. You can look at every single situation in your life when you have hope in Christ and say, I know that God's plan is to restore this. I know He wants to set people free. I know He wants to give life. I know He wants to bring joy. I know He wants to restore families and marriages and heal the sick and do great works in the Comox Valley. I know He wants to bring money about so that we can buy things. We can build for people. We can care for the lost. We can feed the hungry. We can do it. You don't have to hope for that. You just hope in Christ, and God tells you, here's what you're going to hope for. The Bible's already told us what to hope for. It didn't say, here's what to hope for. The Bible just said, I care for the lost. I care for the orphan. I care for the widow. True religion is this: caring for those people. The Bible actually says, I don't care about all of your concerts, your celebrations, all of your gatherings, if you're not doing anything for anyone else. We say, oh, I hope God does something about this. And God said, I sure hope that I've got people who are going to do something about this. Our hope this year is not for something, it's in someone. God didn't come and say, hey, there's hope now. I'm changing every circumstance in your life. He came and said, there's hope now. Here's Jesus Christ. Here He is. Here He is. People, look, that's a baby. How's He going to change our circumstances? He's hope. He's hope. Some of us have put our hope in a million different things, expecting that the outcome would be we would have peace, we would have happiness, we would have joy, we'd all of a sudden feel okay, and we can't figure out why it's not working. We can't figure out why is it that I've put my hope in all of these things, I've done all the positive thinking I can possibly do, I've tried and I've thought all of the great things, and I've tried to break free from addiction, I've really tried, I've thought that this was the time, I've tried to fix my marriage, and I hope that this would be the time, I've tried to call my kids back to faith, and I hope that this would be the time, I've tried to see things change in my workplace, and I hope that this would be the time. We've hoped in ourselves, we've hoped in others, we've hoped in our jobs, we've hoped in money, we've hoped in all sorts of different things, we've hoped in the church. But Jesus says, put your hope in me. And I will give you a hope that will anchor your soul in all circumstances and all situations.